T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I'll answer my own questions, ask myself the questions, then give y'all the answer.
You got to get off the mainstream and see what you can learn.
Oh, let's call Russia.
You aren't giving my package due credit.
That guy's out now, the Anthony Weiner. He is out. He is free. That's a feeling that I'm sure comforts us all. Chad Hartman, Shaletta Brundage, and Adam Carter all here. Busy show, but I want to get to a dog story that's just ticked me off that I saw a couple hours ago, and I don't know how the hell this happened. This is out of Richmond, Virginia. And you have someone who is extraordinarily attached to her dog. So attached to Adam that she decided to take the dog to her grave. Emma is a small dog. Was euthanized recently because her owner...
Debbie was a small dog.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Because the owner left explicit instructions in her will, the baby was to be put down and laid to rest with her. Heartbroken. Shelter volunteers, where Emma had a two-week reprieve from her death, said she was a well-bred, pampered, and much-loved pup. They appealed to the person in charge of the estate, begging them not to end Emma's life. We did suggest they could sign the dog over on numerous occasions because it's a dog we could easily find a home. Emma was taken directly to a vet to be euthanized. After she was cremated, her ashes were placed in an urn and returned to the authorized representative of the estate. Twitter and other outlets are going nuts. While killing healthy pets so they can be interned with owners is sparking an ethical debate on social media, the law is crystal clear, said the president of the Virginia Funeral Directors Association. It is not legal to put a dog's cremated remains or any other animal in a casket to bury them. How in the hell is this allowed? Okay, what's the name of your pooch that you and Jen have?
Gertie.
Gertie, right? And Gertie's a great dog. Gertie gives you a bit of allergies, but you love Gertie. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the two of you are, you know, 60 years from now, when you both pass together. And Gertie is the most remarkable dog ever. Gertie has lived that entire time, and Gertie is still in great shape. Fit, nothing wrong. How the hell is it possible that you, me, or anybody gets to say, you know, I love my dog so much that when I go, I want you to kill my dog so we are together somewhere else? This is not possible. What place that has any decency about it or character about it or cares about pets would even go along with this? And this fraud who claimed she loved her dog so much, she okayed the murder of her dog. Is there any way you see that this should be plausible?
No, I don't see how it would be allowable. I don't see if a dog is in otherwise fine health, I don't see how you could just say, for any reason, say, yeah, put the dog down.
Yeah. I am. Shaletta, you want to play the other side in this? Because if somebody wants to play the other side, call me. 651-989-9226. How is this possible that a healthy animal, because you've passed, and I'm sorry about that, but you've decided you need to rest together forever, or you need to go to heaven together, or you can't envision your dog, your cat, your parakeet's life without you. You're a selfish, bad person if you did this. And any business that goes along with it shouldn't get anybody's business going forward, in my opinion. Again, you want to text or call on this topic, you can. 651-989-9226. We have a busy show today. Jason DeRussia at 12:35. The president of St. Thomas, when they have Adam just been kicked out the door over, we can't beat you, so we're going to kick you out, even though in numerous other sports you beat St. Thomas all the time. Playing politics, the Star Tribune editorial board. Patricia Lopez and John Rash, 135. Our friend Rochelle Olson on what's taking place with the folks representing Jamar Clark and the negotiations with the city of Minneapolis in light of the money paid to the family of Justine Damon. The Clark family saying, hey, we want the same figure. Where's that going? Rochelle has it. But on the president acting like a king and a child. Let's get to that topic when we come back. Adam has the news, traffic and weather, a chance to win $1,000. But King Donald Trump is speaking once again. That topic comes up in moments. All right, on the sheet provided to us, the word is spelled F-O-U-R-T-U-N-E. So like a sheep, Carter. I'm just reading what's right. I'm like a teleprompter. You know, I'm Ron Burgundy. Go bleep yourself, San Diego. So
it's a multiple level failure.
It is.
What you're saying.
It is. I'm taking some of it for sure. Others have to take some of it too. And when people are calling in and they're just pointing it out, they're friendly, fine. But when people are calling in and texting, they're angry. Take a breath. You're listening to a radio show and you're getting the chance to win $1,000 and you're all indignant like we killed your dog.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, right in front of me, I'll be honest. I look, I make sure I have it right, and then I worry about the topics. Now, I think it's great that we're doing this, where we're giving people an opportunity to win $1,000. The more reasons we can give people to listen to the station, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But the clownish behavior from our listeners.
Lighten up, Francis.
Honestly. Who's providing the spelling of these hourly words of the announcers? Both yield and fortune were spelled incorrectly. You're right. So I have to take some of it. I don't think you or Shaletta have to take any of it. So you're exonerated. Whoever misspelled it. Now, if they told me to jump off the building, I don't think I'd do that. So I'm not giving you an opportunity to get a fortune because I didn't look ahead. So I hope you can do it again and take out the U. Or maybe add three U's. Maybe this is another one, Carter, when you're really rich, when it's a U in there and it's a lot of money. Okay, we've got a caller here on the dog story. And I love another text. By the way, it's wrong and it's none of your business. Again, absolutely clueless about how talk radio works. 1,000% clueless. This person could make a fortune with a U as clueless as he or she is because we are compensated. We are paid to do a variety of things here, including giving strong opinions on topics which we think will get a reaction. And so it is our business in this case. Like, I'm not, you know, chasing down the person's family and tormenting them, but I'm giving an opinion, and we're getting a lot of reaction, by the way. Bill is in Waconia. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, brother-in-law was killed 20 years ago, and his five wishes, it's kind of like a will, I guess. He wanted his dog to be buried with him. His dog was in perfect health and everything. The day of the visitation, they took the dog in and put the dog down, and the dog was buried at his feet in the casket.
Honestly. Bill, did you think about stepping in?
I didn't. I don't. I mean, I honor his five wishes, I guess, but if it were myself, I guess I would not do it. But
I hope you wouldn't do it, Bill. What do you mean you guess you wouldn't do it?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it, but I don't know. You have to honor his
No, you don't. No, you don't, Bill. You don't have to kill a healthy animal because someone passed. And he might be a very nice guy, but in this way, he was awful. A healthy animal shouldn't be killed just because I'm sorry that your brother-in-law died. That is so selfish and cruel. Oh.
Well, if I hope Bill didn't decide to cash her in there,
well, I know.
Bring Fido with him.
Honestly, how are people, Carter, how are people defending this?
I don't know. I mean, and I'm one of those people where I push back where there's, I mean, I love my dog. And you've kidded me about my past dog. Yes. I love that dog, too. I do not equate my dog as one of my kids.
No, I don't either.
And, you know, and a lot of people do that. And they say, oh, no, a dog is the same as your child. So a lot of people even put pets above other human beings.
No.
I'm not one of those people.
No. I'm not either.
And if I'm faced with a huge medical bill on a dog, I'm, you know, weighing the options. But
I'll probably go the other way with you on that one. Yeah. But I totally get it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
I've spent too much money on pets.
I'm not taking Gertie with me to the grave.
No, you know what you are? You're a bad person if you do this. Carter, yes or no?
Yes.
You're a bad person. I don't care if you've solved every other issue. If you're taking a perfectly healthy animal and saying, that's it. Grim Reaper for you.
If you believe in the afterlife, I assume that's why you're taking the dog with you. The dog will be there.
Yes. Just wait.
Yes.
And go back to the other text. So if the dog unexpectedly dies and you love the dog, right? The dog horribly gets hit by a car, as my dog Watson did one day, and they ran away. I would still like to find that person, and I'd like to run over their leg. I don't want to kill them. But I'd like to break their leg. I immensely love Watson. I mean, just as good a dog as you can get. And some just complete disgusting human being drove away. So your dog gets hit by a car or your dog dies unexpectedly. Do you have to say, hey, I know I'm only 42, but you know what? Fido, is that still the standard line we go with? Fido.
Yeah, Boomer.
Boomer. Does anyone name their dog still Fido?
I don't know. That's pretty plain. I mean, as ironically, I suppose you name your dog Fido.
Because Fido's gone, you've got to leave too. You know? Yeah. 22 past 12. Back in moments. One of the 50 greatest songs in American rock and roll history right there as we come back. Okay, onto the king with the maturity level.
Oh, let's call Russia.
Yeah, of a four-year-old. In fact, you know, Shaletta, we can have an on-air show meeting. I actually jotted this one down, and now I see him on the screen. Mr. Phillips, Congressman Phillips. Let's try to get Dean Phillips on the next couple days.
Okay.
Like a texter here, and you saw it too, Adam. Maybe you haven't seen it yet. And I love these ones. The president won. Oh, no, he's an entertainer like you. He won. Get over it. So as I text the person back, so Congress just quits for either party. And no doubt in the hyper, uber partisan ways that bore me to tears, that we have extremists on all sides. We have those on the right. We have those on the left. Congress plays a role. We have three branches of government. We don't have a dictator. We don't have a king. And right now, what the president is doing, as usual, he's lying because he was not cleared on obstruction. Anybody who says that or who believes that is lying. It never says it at any point in the document. In fact, it says it would not be fair to the president, so it's clear that Bob Mueller, we're tight, so I call him Bob, is saying, Congress, you decide. Now on working with the Russians? He said there's no proof. Good. Fantastic. I hope that's not the bar, though, where we say, wow, hey, Adam, our president is great because he didn't work with one of our main rivals to try to win the election. I hope the bar is a little higher, but that was a huge part of the investigation. So, yes, that part is great. So now you have Congress playing a role, and some are just clouded by hate. Some are clouded by policy difference. Some are doing their damn job. And when they are following the role that Congress has played since the 1700s, late 1700s, where they are overseeing, working with, and potentially investigating the presidency, what is the president doing? He is not responding to any of the requests. Zero of them. None. And so now, when you have a lot of the old guard in the House, Pelosi, Hoyer, Clyburn, and others who are saying, let's not do impeachment. Because and the truth is, I think they're worried it's going to give them a bounce. They also know it's going nowhere in the Senate. They're little, unless literally he just turned over the country to Putin, the Senate, with the slight majority of the Republicans, is not going to vote to impeach the president. And I've said multiple times, don't do impeachment. The election is so close. But when you continue to act like the child king and you defy Congress, unlike I don't know anybody's ever done when you don't – subpoenas don't matter. Normal formal requests don't matter. And so guess what? Pelosi's getting more and more of a push. And Pelosi comes out of a meeting where she has some of the old guard saying, hey, we're actually making progress, so just calm down on the impeachment talk. But a lot of the others like impeach, let's go, let's start this, because they feel like that they can get more access to more information if you begin the formal inquiry. And she says today, she says, doesn't give any indication that they're about to start the impeachment process, but she flat out says the president is engaged in cover-up. Steny Hoyer, the majority leader, might be the largest, broadest cover-up in American history. And so you have a meeting today on infrastructure. And the president, like a three-year-old, spoiled, walks in there and says, unless you stop doing your job, I'm not going to do my job. That's what he said. If you keep investigating me, I'm not going to work with you. So in other words, anything that might get passed in Congress, signed by the president, is now done because he is lying about obstruction. Now, on Don McGahn, I think he's within his right to say executive privilege. I don't agree with Democrats all the time, plenty of times. In fact, I didn't vote for a Democrat as president. I don't think the president's lawyer in this case, I think the president is within his right to declare executive privilege. Personally, would I like to hear him again? Yeah. But on Mueller and others, we should hear from them. So even if you're a Trump supporter, you should still look at this and say, this is the way we do this. Either you do it my way, or I'm just going to sit here and tweet like he was doing, 15, 20 tweets this morning. Same stuff he said over and over again. I didn't think we were headed for impeachment, Carter. I'm starting to wonder now. In fact, if I had to say today, I now think it might happen. Because he's not turning anything over, and because of what he said today. It's not going to happen in the Senate, much like it didn't happen with Clinton. But if you had to say yes or no right now, do you think formal impeachment proceedings will start at some point this year?
Yes, at least the inquiry, right? Isn't that what happens first, the impeachment
yep.
inquiry?
Yep.
Yes, for sure, I think.
Yep. And the president is now bringing plenty of this on himself. We'll get back to that with Playing Politics, Star Tribune, in about an hour. You always can inquire, opine, whatever it might be, 651-989-9226 with a phone call or text. 34 past 12. Jason DeRussia comes back with us after traffic and weather on CCO. I will get to Mr. DeRussia in moments. Going to remind you it's 12:39. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to replace your roof, GAF asphalt shingles. Jason, I was fired up earlier in the hour. I was talking about this story where it was out of Richmond, Virginia, and a woman had died, and she had put it in her will that when she dies, her dog dies with her. So the perfectly healthy dog was killed, and the ashes and the urn went with her. And I am saying this is – you're just a horrible human being if you do this. I mean, who doesn't – I mean, so many, you know, hundreds of millions of people on this planet right now have dogs which they love. And that's great. And I have loved dogs, so even cats for a little bit, okay? But I'm not saying when I leave, if my dog is perfectly healthy, that guess what, dog Jason, because I've named the dog after you, you've got to come with me.
Who's euthanizing this dog?
That's what I said. This place,
I mean, or was this like a Old Yeller situation?
No,
so a legit place euthanized.
Yes,
I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Chesterfield County Animal Services. They claim that they went to the folks who were the people in charge of the estate and said, "We will keep the dog. We will find individuals," but in the end, you got to say, and so do other places, have to say, nope, we're not going to do this.
No.
Like, and we had this. We had a guy call, and I appreciate that he called in, but I went at him a little bit because he said his brother-in-law basically did the same thing. And it was a few years back that his brother-in-law had a list of five things he wanted done once he passed away.
Right.
And one was killing his dog, and then they put the dog in the coffin with him.
Goodness. Now, I understand, like, especially if you have no family, where you feel like, I don't know, you know, I love this dog so much, I don't want this dog to go to the shelter, and who knows what happens to the dog. But too bad, like, I love my wife, but if I die first, I'm not going to say, well, here's my will. She's coming with me.
I that'd be a heck of a thing for Alyssa to find out, by the way. God forbid something happens to you, like, you know, 7 years from now. I'm not wishing this upon you.
Sure.
But it happens, and all of a sudden, you know, you gather around, and, you know, Jason had one final wish. That's Alyssa. He loves you so much. He wants to see you again, and he wants that to be in the next 30 minutes or so.
Right. And then out comes, like, the firing.
Yeah, right. The guillotine
right the
comes
room.
Out.
I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I just can't believe they allowed that it was allowed to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, Liz is there with this young pool boy, and's like going, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, finally got rid of his dead weight.
Yes. Okay, where are you at on the St. Thomas story? We're gonna have the St. Thomas president on in about 30 minutes. St. Thomas basically sees the writing on the wall, and they say, okay, if you're kicking us out, we'll do it on our own. I think...
Is that what happened? I mean, involuntary left. They were involuntarily eliminated from the committee. It's out from the conference. It sounds like they got the boot.
Yeah, I think they did it ahead of the vote, right, by just saying, hey, we know the vote's there, so it just doesn't matter at this point.
Who cares? Like, I think, to me, it's a sad thing, and I, I get it. If you're one of these smaller schools, here's the thing. Over the last, 20 years, St. Thomas has had more enrollment.
Yep.
More money.
Yep.
More well, it's a more well-connected alums, I guess you could argue.
Sure.
Although St. John's gives them a run for the money. That is not always translated to success.
Correct.
And so I think this is largely a football issue.
100% it is.
And let's be honest about the football approach and attitude from the University of St. Thomas.
Yes.
It is a go for the jugular.
Correct. Domination.
It's domination. And do I always think that is the right thing to do? No. I think if you look at the tradition of St. John's and the way they approach their football program, and then the way that St. Thomas...
I'm going to push back on you, because Gags used to run up the score a lot.
But with the backups.
Yeah, but he'd be going for two. He'd be doing stuff. You know,
he would, but it was... It's true. It's football. I don't know. To me, it makes the other schools look like a bunch of babies.
Yes, it does.
What is the lesson here? Like, if you get beaten, kick your competition out.
That's
it. It's pretty pathetic.
It is. And so, St. Thomas, yes, I think you're 100% right, whether it's the last 10, 20 years, whatever's happened. And this is with Mark Deanhart in charge, the money that Dick Schultz was putting in there, and then maybe more of their alumni, and there's so many alumni in this town of St. Thomas, just saying, sure, let's give more. And if you go on that campus, it is a spectacular facility-laden campus. But you know what? The biggest thing to turn in football was one guy, Glenn Caruso. And so if Glenn Caruso accepts one of these jobs that he's offered, there's no guarantee. And by the way, they're not winning the title every year.
No.
They're just not. And there are numerous other sports, and Ricey's done a magnificent job on this, whether it's with the Trib or tweeting out, pointing out other schools and other sports where they're just dominating. But
yeah, so they all just hate Glenn. Is that the bit?
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty – now, you can have a reasonable discussion about whether St. Thomas should be a D2
right
program.
I think they were headed that way, too. I really do.
Yes. I just think it's a bummer for tradition, and I think Mayak can now enjoy irrelevance. Like, who's going to be excited about the St. Olaf-Gustavus matchup? Like, I mean, if that's what they want, if they just want parity and everybody to be, well, now we all have a shot. Like, I don't know. Like, St. Thomas didn't win the basketball title this year.
No, they didn't. No. And okay.
Well, I don't know. Like, what are you going to do?
I mean, if the Wolves could just do this in the Western Conference and the NBA with, like,
way too many good teams in the Western
about Conference. About nine of them, you know, and what about nine of them over there? That would help.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's pause someone on time. Let's stay with the Russia. Let's come back. We'll have about 6-7 more minutes with Jason. We'll pause right here. It is 47 past 12 on the home of Jason DeRussia, WCCO. It's 51 past 12. Chad Hartman back here on WCCO. Jason is about to rejoin us. Do not forget, Plain Politics, Star Tribune editorial board. This week it's John Rash and Patricia Lopez at 1:12. The president of St. Thomas is going to join us. And at 2:35, Rochelle Olson on where we're at with negotiation between the city of Minneapolis and the estate of Jamar Clark. Jason back with us. Where do you stand on celebrities attending sporting events and drawing attention to themselves?
Meaning like...
Well, I'll give you my example here. So Drake. Where's Drake? If we were going to name the biggest... stars in music today, Is he top five? Is he top 10? How high up on the list is
he? Probably. I think Drake maybe doesn't get the critical acclaim that some do.
Right.
But, you know, he sells a lot of
stuff.
He moves a lot of records.
He does. I mean, he's making a lot of money. So he is a diehard Raptors fan.
Yeah.
And he has the courtside seats, and it's set up in such an odd way in Toronto where you have – It's divided in a weird way where the TV's setup is and where the stack crew is. So Drake and his has like four seats, and whoever Drake brings, I don't know. Drake is out on the court, I'm telling you,
yes.
15 times a game, and he's out there. He's taunting Giannis last night, and he does this a lot, and. All the players, when they're coming off the floor, if they don't high five Drake, it's like they'd be in trouble. Drake, whether it was Dwayne Casey and now Nick Nurse. And it's like, I get it. You get to be a fan. And because you've made plenty of dough, you get the courtside seats, but there is a line. And you know where that line is? The out of bounds line. You cannot go on the court. I'm not saying when the games go, but like when the ball's in play, but he is wandering out there. And I thought Reggie Miller during one of the games made a pretty good point. Now, Reggie Miller, a great player for the Pacers, and they had those great rivalries with the Knicks. And so when you think about the Knicks, you think about Spike Lee, right? And so Spike Lee Reggie Miller used to go at it all the time. And Reggie made the point. Spike would go on the road. So he would go to Indianapolis where he would take all the booing, all the harassing. God knows if somebody called some games in Indianapolis, what other comments Spike had to put up with. But he travels and takes the heat. Drake stays in Toronto and does it. And I know Drake's busy. But I got a feeling every once in a while Drake can make a road game. So that's what I'm saying. If you're going to be that visible, wandering out on the court, show a little fortitude and get on the road and travel to Milwaukee. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, this is an NBA thing for sure, right?
Yes,
for sure.
It's part
of the fun of the NBA,
yep.
I think. You know, you think back to, like, the heyday of the Lakers and seeing Jack Nicholson there.
Yep.
But, like, you know, it's part of it is just the weird access, right?
It's stunning. The access
in a hockey game, you're not able to go on the ice.
No,
in a football game, you know, for the Gophers, they all have to high five Pat Kessler when they come running out of the tunnel.
Of course they do. Yeah,
at TCF, it's very similar. But there's no other sport that gets you as a fan that close. To the action.
Well,
super annoying. It does. I have many friends, of course, because I used to work in Milwaukee, and they're definitely having fun with saying, like, we can't play any Drake music for the next couple of weeks.
Right.
I think it's great. Like, I think that's fun too, you know?
I do too. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, okay, so the year I left, what happened is, the Timberwolves followed the lead of a lot of other places, and they got to either have Dopey Me calling the radio games courtside, which I loved, or they could sell those seats. And I think the first year they sold those seats for $1,600 a pop. So that's why, you know, Alan outside of, if TV isn't working, Alan calls it up at the top of the lower bowl. And,
right.
And I'll just say a very, very prominent executive – of a place associated with fitness, bought the seats at the visiting bench years and years ago.
Right.
And a guy who is still coaching now, Greg Popovich, was getting up and he was talking to his team. Maybe he was calling out a play. And this particular executive, who's still fairly visible, twice pulled on the coat of Popovich and said, "You're in my way. Don't do that again." The second time he did it, by like four irrefutable sources, I think the letters MF were used about 17 times, and said executive was tossed out of the building. So, I mean, you're that close to things that you can make that type of fool of yourself.
It's Drake is making a fool out of himself, I think, right? Like,
yes.
It's so over the top. But it's also, like, it fits with the culture of the NBA.
It does. You're right.
Which I think is the coolest sport going right now. I just think it is.
It's fun. All right, I'll let you go. Appreciate it. And we'll check out tomorrow, 4:30 to 7 and 9 to 10.
Very good. Thank you.
Jason DeRussia, mid-mornings, 9 to 10, and then the morning show, 4:30 to 7. Do not forget. At 1:12, and I will check and make sure the word is spelled properly, and I won't be like a sheep and read it if it's not spelled properly. Chance to win $1,000 coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.